App-based services and businesses have fundamentally changed the economic landscape, but their evolution would not have been possible without a high-speed wireless network over which to transmit all that data. That network is known as 4G or LTE. The next generation of even faster wireless networks is known as 5G and is poised to further change an already dynamic digital landscape. But those networks can't be built without first developing the infrastructure to support 5G. Last week, Governor Ige signed a law that will establish a permitting process for companies seeking to build 5G infrastructure in Hawaii. It's part of an initiative to grow Hawaii's tech sector and make the Aloha State attractive to mainland tech companies. Bert Lum is the strategy officer for the Hawaii Broadband Initiative, and he spoke with our producer Ryan Finity to explain what it'll take to bring 5G to Hawaii.
Really, what happened was over the course of the last couple of years, there's been strong interest on the part of the wireless carriers as well as government on enabling the small cell transmitters, which would basically reside on things like light poles. So, you know, if you look at all the light poles and the fixtures that are being managed by whether it's state or city and county, even on the neighbor islands, these are places where these small cells could reside. And with things like 5G, it's going to require a lot more of these small cells.
Before we get too deep into it, Bert, what is a small cell antenna, and why is the state government concerned with them?
Well, so if you think of the evolution of cellular or wireless technology, you know, you have your 3G cells that basically required, you know, these towers, right? And you can probably see some of them when you drive around. You can see some of these sort of fake trees, right? Those are those cell towers. You had 3G, you had 4G, or also referred to as LTE. And what's happening with 5G is that it's higher bandwidth capacity, but you need more of these cells, or what they call small cells, in order to create the network that you with your cell phone would connect to. So what's happening is that instead of, you know, intermittent cell towers, you're requiring much more small cells to be installed.
So these are necessary for the next generation of wireless technology.
That's right. And what's happening is that with 5G, two of the real key specifications is that it's much faster. So we're talking about the gigabit rates, and it's low latency. So we're talking about, 1 to 2 milliseconds.
And so this bill that was just signed into law would create a framework for installing these small cell 5G antennas on existing infrastructure rather than having to build towers or something like that.
Well, yeah, and what the bill really was kind of intended to do was try to set some sort of standard way that the wireless installation crews that are going out there and looking at putting these small cells up have a standard process by which they can apply to the government, whether it be city and county or your neighbor islands or even the state, so that they could put in a request to install these small cells on the light fixtures, right? So it's got to be an organized fashion, right? You can't have a free-for-all.
And so right now, there are multiple cellular network providers. Are we potentially looking at a situation where Sprint and Verizon and AT&T are all going to be trying to install these small antennas on light posts around Hawaii?
That's exactly right. So what happens is that think of it like a rush to get the best sites. And there are already efforts to carve out, where would be the optimal places to put these small cells. So it behooves the wireless carriers, whether it's the T-Mobiles, the Sprints, the Verizons, the AT&Ts, to start looking at, where would we put these cells to optimize our coverage?
And is that something they've already been doing, or is this still kind of off in the distance?
There's already projects underway. So one of the, and I have to differentiate between the folks that are actually putting in the small cells versus the carriers that you would, you know, ultimately buy a service from. So I'll mention a couple of names. So one example is Boingo, and Boingo has put in some Wi-Fi access points over at the airport, and that was in the news this past week, and that's really interesting because, you know, Wi-Fi is also a wireless technology, and what's interesting about what Boingo is doing is that you know, they have Wi-Fi coverage around the airport, and they are now prepared with their infrastructure in place to migrate to 5G. So that's an example of you know, one company that's prepared to see the technology evolution, because the Wi-Fi, the 5G specifications are still being worked out, right? So that's, it's not like you can go off and buy 5G equipment off the shelf and then start installing them. So it's still a migration process. Another one that you will hear about is a company called Mobility, and Mobility is also putting in antennas on specified sites in preparation for 5G. Their initial install is for augmenting their 4G network, and they're working with Sprint, you know, to augment Sprint's network. So they're the ones that actually put in the antennas, and then the companies like the Sprints and the Verizons, they ride on top of that, or they basically hire them to put the put the antennas together for them.
So Bert, it seems like this is an opportunity for some newcomers into the industry, because it's a whole new set of infrastructure that's being created, and meaning that Sprint and Verizon and the incumbents don't necessarily have a huge advantage in it. Do you expect to see startups getting into 5G or newcomers into the wireless industry?
Well, so what's interesting, and we should keep an eye out on what happens with this, is that, you know, first and foremost, 5G enables a whole new set of applications. And, you know, in addition to the high speeds that you can now get, you know, up to the gigabit rates, there will be applications that will take advantage of 5G, and, you know, things like smart city and connected cars, and you can have things like sort of fixed wireless applications where, instead of, you know, at home just getting your wired connection, you can now instead get a fixed wireless connection, and that would service your home. So you know you don't have to worry about your Wi-Fi connection. You can actually get a 5G connection. So with that in mind, what you need to start kind of keeping an eye out for is if companies are starting to look at installing these antennas, you can start to see new players potentially getting into the market. Now, what has recently happened, which I find interesting, and again, this is a bit speculative, but with sort of the net neutrality rules getting revoked, which now kind of enables some of the major carriers to potentially throttle certain kinds of content. In addition to the fact that you have Comcast and AT&T, you know, buying content providers like Time Warner and 20th Century Fox, you're going to start to see the content providers, the big content providers, and think of the Googles, which have YouTube or Netflix or Amazon, which Amazon Prime, you're going to start seeing them start to consider, well, how do they reach their end user? If, you know, and is there a way that they can get into the market without having to go through what we would consider those incumbents, right? So it's a little bit of speculation on my part, but you know, if they're looking at trying to touch their customer at the end user, how would they best do that and still be free of delivering their content without necessarily being throttled? So those are some of the interesting things that are happening in the market right now, and I sort of suspect that the landscape will start to change.
It sounds like this has the potential to be a real disruptor in the way that 4G gave rise to the app economy.
I think you're right. I mean, there's definitely, you know, again, these new applications, the new capabilities, and of course, you know, we're talking about sort of the real-time delivery of services, given the speeds and the latencies. Yeah, there's a wide open field for applications, and then on top of that, you have now the content providers that are incented to reach the end user in a much more direct manner.
That was Bert Lum, strategy officer for the Hawaii Broadband Initiative at the State Department of Business, Economic Development, and Tourism, speaking with conversation producer Ryan Finity. Bert is also the co-host of Hawaii Public Radio's Tech Focus show, Bite Marks Cafe. Tomorrow on The Conversation, we'll have the second part of Ryan's interview with Bert. He'll explain how high-speed connectivity physically makes it to the most remote population center on Earth and why Hawaii is at risk of being bypassed by future broadband internet infrastructure.